It's an issue of readiness skills. If I do not place my child in some kind of preschool, will my child be ready for school when the time comes? We want to talk about that today.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. We've got some special guests again with us in the studio today. The missus and the daughter, Rosemary Barnes and Tori Barnes Roberts, and expert moms. We're glad that they're here with us. You're totally outnumbered, so we'll have to see what happens today.
And I do want to say that Tori never really uses the name Tori Barnes Roberts. I'm forcing the word Barnes in there. It is basically Tori, not basically, in reality, Tori Roberts. But the fun for me here today is my wife, Rosemary, who raised Tori and Roby, and Tori, who not only is the manager of the blog and writes the vast majority of the blogs, but also is a phenomenal mom. And what we wanted to do, what Ruthie and I wanted to do, is bring in a lady who did it, a lady who's doing it, on staying at home. You had a profession here at Sheridan House. You were a phenomenal behavioral specialist with the children. And then
in-house mom.
And a house mom. And then you got pregnant, which, as your dad, even though I knew you were married, I didn't know you were doing things like pregnant. So it was a little bit of a shock for me when you actually got pregnant after 8 years
after
of marriage.
After 8 years.
Yes. Of course, then again, I wonder, did I overdo abstinence when you were growing up, that it took you 8 years to get pregnant? But anyway, I'm going to leave that whole thing alone.
My goodness, yeah, drop it, please.
Yes,
please.
And we're going to get back to preschool. And just today, talking about, you know, Rosemary, you taught first grade for a decade. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's immediately going to have moms say, okay, I get it. She mm-hmm. taught first grade for a decade. Mm-hmm. Tori's degree is in psychology, so she didn't, and she's doing it. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk today about, what do I do then to get my child ready? I'm terrified that my child's going to arrive in kindergarten and have those, did I waste those 4 and 5 years mm-hmm. by not getting my child in school? Mm-hmm. What did you do?
Well, first of all, before we go there, I do want to make a comment and backtrack to something that we talked about a little bit yesterday that I think is such an important aspect, and that is for us to choose to intentionally do this as a family. It can't just be a mom thing. Mm-hmm. It can't be mom with the children. It's got to be dad. As we speak, Tori's husband, Adam, is helping with Reuben so that she can sit here in the studio with us and talk about it. That's intentional. He knew this is important for her, and so he's filling in with their son. And so I think that it's so important for mom and dad to get on the same page so that when dad gets home and maybe the breakfast dishes are still not washed because we've had a wonderful day of preschool at home.
Chaos.
Yeah, of chaos. That he'll understand, and it will be something that we work together on. So I think that's the first thing, is to make a decision. I know we said this yesterday, but intentionally, this is what we're going to do as a family.
You know, there's an interesting statement about that. When you're taking care of the children, you're being a mom. When I, as a dad, I'm taking care of the children, I'm babysitting.
Did I say babysitting?
No. But there's almost that thought that this is, as a man, this is not in my job description. Oh, what are you doing? I got to babysit. Mm-hmm. Rather than I'm being a dad. Mm-hmm. And I will say, your husband is one of the best dads I have ever seen. Mm-hmm. Watching him with his little boy is, I marvel at the touch and whatever. So I don't know what you did with that, drugged him or whatever it is, but it's amazing to me. Having said that now, mm-hmm. I would come home and see forms of school going on at home and the fun things and the spatial things with the Tupperware and all the things you would do with them.
Well, I think one of the most important things is I remember that as I was – this sounds like I'm pulling – something out or whatever. But, you know, in school, in graduate school, when we talked about the whole reading readiness situation, we learned that the basic thing that a child needs to have before he or she is ready for education is to have experienced life. Have life experiences. And so many of the children that we saw in first grade and kindergarten were back behind because they had never, even though they lived in Broward County, perhaps even been to the beach, or they had not experienced some of the things that children need to experience to have that background to go into the educational process. So the goal for me and the woman that I, we kind of co-did it together, our goal was, let's give these children all the experiences they can possibly enjoy at this level. of their age level. And so our goal was to just give them incredible experiences. Mm. And we'll, you know, elaborate that on that a little bit more later. But just to open the doors of their minds to the things that were around them, nature and travel, not that we went anywhere exciting other than maybe up to Deerfield Beach or something like that. But just
it felt far away. Yeah. It felt like New York City when we went to Deerfield Beach.
You took a train, didn't
we
you?
Did.
You,
yeah.
You actually experienced
that.
Getting
mm-hmm.
on the train.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And
the train bathrooms are permanently in my head.
Those kinds of things you're not supposed to remember. But that's what we did. We wanted to offer experiences to the children during that preschool era.
You made an interesting statement, this person you did it with. One of the things that's helpful then is to find a partner. If there's another mom at church or somewhere, finding a partner helps make that easier to do. Mm-hmm. And the two of you getting three children or four children on a train together might be a little better than just getting on a train for the first time. So mm-hmm. a partner is helpful in this. But mm-hmm. but what you said there is, to me anyway, is it's not going to happen parked in front of VeggieTales. It's not going to happen. VeggieTales played a part, but if it's get them up, get them fed, get them parked, and then get them lunch, and then get them nap, and then get them, that's not doing it. I remember you getting them out and taking them to the library, and the library was not just the library. The library was sitting on the lawn having a snack, watching a hawk come and
oh, don't even remind me.
Do you
me,
remember
please.
The story?
It was Roby.
Oh, it was Roby.
I was at school.
A hawk come and take a baby duck. Oh yeah, Ruthie just passed out.
Fortunately,
even that,
he missed it. But.
Yes, but even that was an amazing experience of life. Mm-hmm. Sitting there over on Pines Boulevard at the library, mm-hmm. watching that take place, mm-hmm. getting out, and we live in such a great place. And I remember you calling me at the office and say, "Hey, you want to just go to the beach and eat dinner tonight when you get home? I'll make something. We'll go. We'll sit with a basket." I remember me wanting to say no. Is there an option here? I just want to come home. I don't want to do that. And you, Rosemary, being so jacked over doing something I so don't want to do that I didn't even have to say no. And once I got there, it was great. Mm-hmm. I was just exhausted. I just, you know, I got to work at 7. I get home at 6:30 or 7. I don't want to do this. And then realizing, yes, I do. Once I get there and they had their buckets and their shovels and we had stuff to eat, it was just a very, very valuable time of deciding if I'm going to do this. Part of readiness skills happens to be experiences, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
The interesting thing is there's a movement that started that's kind of sprung out of the homeschool movement that's it's more of a natural learning style, which creates more of a thirst for knowledge in the children rather than a feeling of learning being a requirement. And I think that this is one of the ages that I would feel that it would work best. Would it be preschoolers, because they are so tactile. They're just taking in everything. And I think if you have a small child whose attention span is one of 2 to 3 minutes, and they're having to sit in a chair and color or work on letters or do certain things, you may end up having that natural learning and natural thirst for knowledge and exploration be stifled. Mm-hmm. So it's an amazing movement that's kind of sprung all up. And I think there's like 150,000 parents that are doing this now and training their children at home.
Explain that again.
It's just kind of more of a natural learning style,
which means,
and every family kind of does this a little bit differently, but it means that things that your children are interested in, you pursue, and you use their interest to kind of guide your curriculum. Like, for instance, Ruben's very interested in Itsy Bitsy Spider right now. That's his favorite song. He sings it all the time, but has never actually discovered a spider web. And actually, as we were on our way to Mimi's house, who's sitting next to me this morning, we found a spider web, and we stopped and looked, and he was ecstatic over seeing a spider web for the first time. And that would be somewhat of an example of this learning style, mm-hmm. which taught science and nature and, mm-hmm. you know.
And he's still talking about it.
Yes, he still is talking about it. But it is, I think, because I was processing this whole thing, I thought to do that because it's just not something that's natural. We're so focused on getting our activities or sticking to our schedule that we sometimes don't take the time to train. Right. And this is a very intentional thing on the parent's part, where you're following your child and seeing what their interests
are. It's a different intentional, though. It's very cool. It's an intentional to discover my child rather than intentional to fulfill my schedule, intentional to teach this today, I mean, very intentional about accomplishing this and then getting there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The intentionality of that is all of a sudden you make the connect between the song and the, wow, there it is right there. There's mm-hmm. a spider. There's right. an itsy bitsy mm-hmm. spider, which is a, which is awesome mm-hmm. because you plug in to what he's already interested in to teach a lesson that he will now not forget.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then also, oh, Reuben, there's three spider webs. Let's count them. 1, 2, 3. I mean, you can, and then mm-hmm. reading, you can go mm-hmm. back and read a book about the spider. I mean, it's something that you can wrap a whole day around something, a song that he's learned. And mm-hmm. it's just more of a natural learning style where you're mm-hmm. not forcing them to mm-hmm. count, or mm-hmm. it's just a very natural free right. form, and I think it works well with the preschool age.
And even if the child is more, we were talking on the way over here about another child that a friend of Ruben's who is much more of a, maybe it's because she's a little girl, but she's much more
inferior
of a,
to
no. Sit down, look at a book, color a page, and she's much quieter and calmer. Where Reuben is all experience everywhere, all over the place, but I think even if you have a child that's more sedate, or maybe that's a wrong terminology, but it's more geared
sweet
to
and quiet,
sitting
no,
down
more
and
boring female.
that even that child, we want them to experience. We don't want them to be burned out on the sitting and coloring by the time they get to kindergarten, first grade, middle school, whatever. I think it's such a great idea, no matter what the learning style mm-hmm. of the child is, to expose them to something that there is a natural bent, as you're talking about, Tori, in their life.
With Joanna, you know, I was actually babysitting her. This is who Mom's referring to. We were playing with her a little Magna Doodle, which she was drawing. And Joanna was drawing circles. And, you know, that's not something that I can get Reuben to do yet, even though they're exactly the same age. He would rather find a circle on a building or look at the spider mm-hmm. web and see that it's a circle. Mm-hmm. And Joanna would draw a cloud, you know, and she would say cloud and point to it, whereas Reuben will go outside and say cloud and point to it. It's just, they're just very different learning styles right. because they're different children. And if they were forced to be doing the same thing, mm-hmm. both of them would not be learning what they should be.
So if both of those children were at some form of childcare center and they would all be forced into learning mm-hmm. in the box, they would miss out on this particular child's bent. Train up a child according to his bent, really, is what it means. And finding and discovering who that child is, only a parent or a grandparent are able to do that, because mm-hmm. only a parent or grandparent is going to take the time to do that. Mm-hmm. And the privilege you saw of watching as you pull these nuggets out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Rosemary, you opened up with a very interesting statement. And it was an interesting statement in our life, because as the children were growing up, one of the things while you were getting the kitchen cleaned up in the morning, the Tupperware cabinet was up for grabs. They had their own cabinet, and everything came out, and you taught them things with Tupperware, and you taught spatial, well, this fits into this, and this fits into that, and all those things. But I would come home at night and see Tupperware everywhere in the kitchen. There was no walking in there, and you would be comfortable in that. And because I'm neurotic and medicated,
I'm so glad that you said that and not me.
Well, I wanted to beat everybody at this table from saying that about how I control and neatness or so. And it was really a challenge for me to realize this is a good thing because it's the more important thing. Mm-hmm. And as a dad, where I would want to say, I'm not stupid, I didn't say it, but I'd want to say, what did you do today? Look at this house. And what you did is you taught two awesome children who have become two incredibly awesome adults by taking advantage of the moment and taking advantage of the stuff and taking advantage of teaching the lessons that needed to be taught. Mm-hmm. There is nobody, as you said, Tori, there is nobody that's going to take on this natural teaching and natural learning like a mom. Nobody's going to do that because no one has the time to do that. It's not anybody's fault. No one has the time. But I don't think it's just the time. I think it's also the inclination to do that. Mm-hmm. He's interested in spiders, there's a spider. She's interested in sitting and drawing circles, there's a way to sit and draw circles. Every child is different. Mm-hmm. Train up a child according to his bent, and every mm-hmm. child's bent in a different direction. And to begin their love for learning rather than their bending them back to have to learn the way everybody else learns is something really only a parent is ever going to do. And so there's such a privilege, if possible, to be at home and be the child's teacher. But to be the child's teacher, you first have to learn the child's interest. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very, very important. We're working on helping moms today and this week discover what the child is interested in and become the child's teacher, the privilege of the child's teacher in this whole process.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes and the very special Rosemary Barnes. Tori Barnes Roberts also. Full studio here, and I'm your host, Ruthie J. If you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, where they've got a lot of parenting resources that you can check out, just go online to shfm.org. It's short for Sheridan House Family Ministries. And you can also go to parentingtoday.org, where you'll find a daily email blog. Sign up for that so you can get it automatically. You can podcast this program, share it with a friend. We've got links on Twitter and Facebook as well. And it's all online at parentingtoday.org, where you can also send us your questions. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that's online at parentingtoday.org.